Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action.
This is Faith in Action here on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder.
Our guest today on Faith in Action is Father James Blunt, and he comes to us from Atlanta, Georgia. God bless you, Father Blunt.
Thank you.
You know, I wonder if you would do us the favor and indulge us and tell us a little bit about your vocation story. So go way, way back to when you first felt the nudgings of our Lord.
Well, you know, I was one of those little boys who used to dress up and say Mass for my little sisters.
Sure. Oh, yeah, sure.
And so when I was a child, I really wanted to be a priest, and that's all I wanted to do. And I was inspired by very good pastors at my parish in Tampa, Florida, St. Patrick's Parish, Irish pastors. But in a particular way, my mom and dad would sit us down once a week to watch Bishop Fulton J. Sheen.
Oh, sure.
Back in those days when he was on live.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And it was a family event, and I would sit down. I was tiny. I sat on the floor next to my mom and dad. And watching that, it's hard to describe, but deep inside of me, I felt like some little voice saying, "That's you. You're going to do that. That's you." And I didn't know what that was. It was very familiar, nice feeling.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be a priest all my childhood years, but something very mysterious happened. And it's mysterious to me even to this day. And that is that once I became a little older, a teenager, I utterly and completely forgot about my vocation. And I mean completely. I don't even remember when and where it left. And all I wanted to do as a teenager was imitate and follow my daddy.
Oh, sure.
I have a wonderful dad. He's in heaven now. I love you, Dad. And he was a lawyer and a judge, and at one time a Navy fighter pilot during World War II. He was, you know, a kind of a man's man, a tough fellow, a good man, a just man. I'm one of eight children. And I just wanted to follow my dad. I wanted to be a lawyer like my dad. And so what I did is I applied to the Navy ROTC and won their scholarship. And I chose the University of Florida because that was my dad's alma mater.
Okay, sure.
So I was following my dad in every way, at his alma mater, with the Navy, becoming a lawyer. And I love boats. I'm from Florida. I love the water. I love sea. I love the boats. And so I was like in paradise. But then in the summer training, I went to Annapolis, the U.S. Naval Academy, and I began to learn how to use all kinds of weapons and weapon systems. I was quite adept at what I did. We had no problem with using these weapons and shooting and hitting my target, but I slowly began to get ill inside. I began to become spiritually sick. I was a revelation to myself, and I did not like what I was doing. I was learning how to use all kinds of weapons, how to destroy the enemy, and I began to become sick. When I went back to my classes in the fall, I could not focus. It was a very, very difficult time for me. I was usually a straight-A student, and now I couldn't focus. My grades started to slip.
Interesting.
And you know, you have to keep straight A's to keep your scholarship.
Oh, sure.
I started to get B's now. Then I got a C in my physics class. Mm-hmm. And so I was in trouble. But I was truly distraught. And here was my problem. I knew I couldn't go on. Something inside of me was rebelling. I could not learn to lose any more weapons. I couldn't bring myself to kill anyone. And I don't mean by that to say there's anything wrong with the armed services, because it's an honorable profession.
Sure. Yes.
And I love the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and I love the officers. My beautiful sister Roseanne just retired as a full colonel from the Air Force.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Oh, my goodness.
So I really believe in the armed services, and we need them in this life. And yet I couldn't do it, and it was not for fear. But if I were to drop my scholarship, I could no longer continue with school. We had no money to go on to college, one of eight children. And if I were to drop my scholarship, I couldn't bear disappointing my dad, my father. I love my dad.
Yeah.
And I'm the only one who was following him in his chosen profession. And now I had to let him down. And so I was in a crisis. I couldn't go on, and I couldn't drop my scholarship and disappoint my father.
Yes, dilemma.
I did not know what to do. And that was a new situation for me. And so what I had to do, because I was normally a very confident child, mm-hmm. now I knew, I didn't know right from wrong, up from down. I went to the Catholic Student Center, St. Augustine's Catholic Church in Gainesville, and I sat before the Blessed Sacrament, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I cried, and I prayed, literally all day. From about 9 in the morning till about 4 in the afternoon, I sat, and I prayed, and I cried. I simply did not know how to go on. Do I go on with the Navy? I can't. I can't kill anybody. Do I disappoint my father? I can't. I love my father too much. What am I going to do? Suddenly, I heard a voice. Now, this sounds, I know, maybe shocking, but it's absolutely true. I heard a deep voice over my head. I'm sitting before the Blessed Sacrament, asking God to guide me. After 7 hours of prayer, I hear a voice, and the voice goes just like this. I want you to be an officer in my army. And I looked up to see who said that, and I looked around, and there's nobody around me. There's only 3 people in the very back of the church. There's nobody anywhere near me in the front of the church. And suddenly, when I heard that deep, beautiful voice, I felt something inside of me physically move in my chest. And I sort of looked down, what is going on? And I saw the memories of the priesthood. From my childhood, I saw the priesthood. And I realized instantaneously the Lord was calling me to be an officer, a priest in his army, in his Catholic Church. And that really saved my life. That word changed everything. Then I knew which way to go. That's what changed me and brought me to the priesthood.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. If you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today, Father James Blunt, he's from Atlanta, Georgia, and most recently, he was actually here in the spring and was here for the Women's Conference, and then this past fall for the Men's Conference. The women were wildly enthusiastic about having us get you to the station as a guest this last spring, but it just was not meant to be. And we try as we might. We tried again, you know, when you were here for the men's conference, and we were successful. you know, Father, I wondered if we could talk a moment about a couple years ago when you were here.
Yes.
You noticed you seemed to have a sensitivity for goodness and for evil as well, and you noticed something about our city. You mentioned it to a couple of the women. And they set about to make a change. And you said you've noticed a little bit of a change. But when you were here 3 years ago, you noticed an evil that kind of had a stronghold on Indianapolis. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, you know, I noticed it when my driver picked me up from the airport and drove me through Indianapolis to where I was going to be staying. And, you know, I do have a great sensitivity to, you might say, spiritual realities. I was actually appointed by the bishop to be the director or the spiritual director of the charismatic movement for the country of Belize. So I've been involved with the charismatic movement for many years, and I learned that first from my grandmother.
Oh, my.
She started the first charismatic movement in Tampa, Florida, in her own house, mm-hmm. with the permission of the local pastor. So a certain sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. And I don't know how we can be effective priests or nuns or lay apostles without the power and gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's the third person of the Holy Trinity, and we need wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and counsel, fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord. There are other gifts, too, called charismatic gifts. They're beautiful as well. By the way, most people don't know this, but the church teaches us that the priest, his ability, you might say his gift, to transubstantiate bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, that's classified as a charismatic gift. That is a charismatic gift. It's a charism, a gift given to a Christian for the sake of others, you see? Well, the gift of tongues, the gift of prophecy, the gift of healing, the Lord has let me move in those undeservedly. And I want to tell you something, they bring joy. The Bible says Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness. Not the oil of sadness, the oil of gladness. He is a God of joy. Jesus is the God of joy, and the Holy Spirit bubbles up inside of us with joy. In using his gifts, I've seen marvelous things happen. I mean unbelievable things. Well, one of those gifts is prophetic vision. But as I was driving through the city, I was seeing, in a prophetic spirit, blood on the streets and handguns. I would see them in my spirit, handguns, like somebody was holding them, getting ready to shoot. And I was seeing spilled blood. And it concerned me. And so when I met with a group of beautiful Christians here, I mentioned that to them, what I was seeing, that we want to pray for the defense of Indianapolis, that people won't be shooting one another. I understand when I left a day or two later, there was a huge shootout that spilled out on the street a day later, as like a confirmation of what it was that I was seeing. But as a result of that vision and a few others, some of the faithful laity of this beautiful city got together and spoke to me about this, and we decided to start St. Michael prayer groups. And I asked them to check with their local pastors and with the Vicar General to make sure we do everything under obedience. They did, and we received a yes, and we formed several of these groups. They've been praying every week since then for the city, for an end to violence and even of the drug trade, and for more conversions, more peace, more love in the city. And they're going strong. I'll be meeting with some of them actually this evening.
For the Women's Conference, we were actually going to have you out to the studio, and we heard after the Women's Conference that it was supposed to, I think, end at 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and you said you were going to stay as long as they needed to for confessions, and I understand that you stayed into the wee hours of the morning, Father. Wee hours of the morning. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I have to tell you, I was raised by two very good parents. And my mother in particular had a heart of love. And so it's been inculcated into myself and my brothers and sisters. And so when I offered to pray over the good woman for healing or confession or spiritual direction, I was amazed at the response. I mean, hundreds of women stayed in line. And I understand we've had quite a number of miracles and blessings because of that night. But I find it impossible to say no, that when someone is grieving or hurting or in need of a touch or a word from the Holy Spirit, I figure that's why I'm here. I'm a priest. I'm not here to make money. I'm here to serve. And so if I can serve God's people and help them in some way, to me that's everything. That we've come not to be served, but to serve. So I was worn out. It was, I think, 4 or 5 in the morning. But every single one of these good, holy women and a few of the husbands and sons who were there too, they all received a blessing and a prayer. And I also had green scapulars with me, healing scapulars.
Oh,
all
sure.
Of them received a green scapular too. But you know what? To me, it was a joy. It's a little bit hard because you do get worn out. It's true. It's a little difficult, but it's a joy. I mean, what else is there except to love God and love your neighbor? There is nothing else. And so I have the great privilege as a priest to love God and love his people constantly. And that's really all I want to do. I don't even charge for these conferences. I just want to love his people.
I didn't know that. You know, I don't know if the men's conference stayed as late, if you stayed as late, if the men are like that. But I remember saying that to Mike Fox beforehand, and he said, no, don't say that. It'll scare the men away. We won't be there till 4 in the morning. But to know that you were available in case they needed you.
Yes, we had a good line with the men, but not quite as long as the women's.
It goes to sensitivity, I think.
Yes.
I mean, women have such sensitive hearts. You know, we just came off a powerful year of mercy. And I want to talk a little bit about, you know, this. We're going into a very holy time of year, the anticipation of our Lord's birth. And here we have 1 week left now before Christmas. And I wonder if we could take just a moment and maybe talk a little bit about how we, as humble listeners to Catholic Radio, could maybe prepare our hearts in a little bit deeper way to be ready to accept our Lord and Savior as a child into our hearts. Maybe you could talk to us a little bit, Father, and help us just to open our hearts a little bit, calm our spirits in a way that would be helpful.
Yes. Well, it's a beautiful question, a very, very sensitive question. Important, too. The first thing that really comes to my mind strongly is this, is that we need to turn to the Virgin Mary. You know, Mary is not a nicety. She's a necessity.
I like that. I like that. Not a nicety, a necessity. That's good.
Indeed. Yeah. She is powerful. She is beautiful. She is holy. And she loves God, and God loves her. And I'll tell you a secret to all the listeners, even those who may not be Catholic. If you love the Virgin Mother, then you love what God loves. And that makes you like God. He loves her in her humility and her purity and in her charity. But Mary is the one who welcomed Jesus most imminently, most perfectly. And Our Lady sort of beckons to all of us, even her Protestant children, to enter into her heart and there to learn how to love Jesus with all of our being. And one of the first lessons Our Lady taught me years ago, and it sounds a little bit funny actually, but you know that all of devotion, all of piety, all of love, it begins with a hunger. Love is a hunger. And that we want to hunger for Jesus. If you hunger for Jesus, he will come. He will come and he will feed you. But if you're not hungry for Jesus, even your Christmas Mass will be boring. We need to hunger for what is righteous. That is Jesus himself. And you know, Mary was a living hunger for God. She said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant." She was in love with her Savior. She loved God first in her soul before she conceived him in her womb. And so really, what we want to do for Advent is create or develop a hunger for God. A hunger for Jesus. And do this through Mary. Enter the heart of Mary and ask Mother Mary, "Mama, give me your love for Jesus. Give me your hunger for God, and then all will be well." And that's what I would recommend. Pray for a hunger for Jesus. Go to the Virgin Mary. And I would also recommend maybe a little bit of fasting. Maybe one day of Advent, I don't mean to kill yourself, but maybe one day skip a meal or two and just have bread and water. That helps greatly. Do a tiny bit of, if you can't do that, then give up all cookies and soda a day or two. That's a fine fast as well. That too will help me to be ready to receive Jesus as he deserves.
Wonderful suggestions. I love the fasting suggestion because I haven't done it very much. I think of it during Lent a lot. But when we were kids, Advent and Lent were similar in our families. We offered up during Advent as well as Lent, a little sacrifices, little things that, in fact, our tradition was to make an empty cradle on the mantelpiece. And our Lord did not go in that until Christmas morning. But every time we made a little sacrifice or offered something up, we put a little piece of straw in the cradle. And they were 14 of us kids, so they were so that by Christmas Day, usually it was overflowing with little pieces of straw. And it was a visual for little kids to see that, oh, they had made, you know, the bed so nice and fluffy for our Lord. So
beautiful.
I do think it's important for us. But fasting, it really does for me. It kind of turns my head and my soul upwards.
Well, it causes you to focus.
Well, it does. It does because, and when you feel those hunger pains, which of course we don't feel so often here in Indianapolis. I mean, there's the cupboard, there's the grocery store, there's McDonald's. I mean, there's so many things that are at our fingertips. But yeah, it does cause you to focus because you feel a hunger pain and what do you think of? Why are we doing it? So it does turn you to the Lord, right?
It does. It moves, orients you in that direction.
Yeah.
Because love is a hunger. If we're always satisfied, we're not going to be hungering. We won't be loving as much.
I like that, Father. I like that a lot.
Father, just before we came on the air, you were sharing a story with MJ and I about a particular miracle. And I think a lot of people think miracle, 2,000 years ago, there were some.
Yes.
But they not so much today. But tell us about that miracle.
Jim, you know, honestly, I actually see miracles, I would say, on a daily basis. I see amazing things.
But you're looking for them, Father.
Well, I'm open to them.
You're open to them, right.
And I might even say this. I mean, it sounds childlike, I know, but I'm in love with God. I'm actually in love with God. He's my best friend. And you know the old saying, when God and man mix, look out. When God mixes with man. So, you know, he's naturally, he leaves miracles wherever he goes, and so does his mother. So the more we're united with God in love, the more miracles happen almost spontaneously, you see? Well, I see them a lot, but I had a particular one because of this year of mercy is what struck me. And it was this, that, you know, my founder, I belong to the SALT community, the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity. And our beloved founder is named Father Jim Flanagan. He passed to the Lord just earlier this year, a great man of God. And he affirmed me in the healing ministry. And he told me when I was newly ordained a priest, he said, Father Jim, the Lord is going to use you for many healings, but listen, you don't always need to be there. He was trying to protect me because I sort of get overwhelmed sometimes in the healing ministry. He says, you can pray from a distance. Well, I didn't realize how prophetic Father Jim was being. What has happened to me, especially in the last 12 months, is this. Photographs. I've been having God's people bring me photographs of their loved ones. I've had miracles actually for years with this. I once had a girl who was missing in Belize. Gone, a beautiful, wonderful, faithful girl was gone. The FBI was called down to find her, and no one could find her. Her mother came to see me with her photograph. I blessed the photograph, placed it in my tabernacle next to the Eucharist, and she was found unharmed.
Oh, my goodness.
Just a day or two later.
Oh, my goodness.
And that really set me on this. Wow, the Lord, he honors this, almost like praying by proxy, basically, is what it is.
Sure.
Which is a biblical notion. Mm-hmm. Well, 2 months ago in Conyers, Georgia, a beautiful suburb outside of Atlanta, I was doing a healing service for the Hispanic community, Viva Cristo Rey. And, well, they came in. It was a beautiful long line, hundreds of people to pray over. I was glad to do it. People were being slain in the Holy Spirit. People were being healed. And halfway through the healing service, I noticed the door open in the back of the church for some reason. It was in my line of vision. And a married couple walked in. And they were obviously traumatized in some way and weeping. The beautiful Hispanic community opened up a line to let them come to the front. It was very, very thoughtful. So they came right up to where I was. And the young woman asked me, Father, could you please pray in proxy? This is the picture of my daddy. And she told me that morning she had received word from Mexico that he was dying of a brain tumor, was already blind from the tumor, and would die by that evening. They've been trying to reach her apparently for several weeks, but sometimes, especially in the villages, there's very little cell phone tower connection. Only that morning they got hold of her. She was broken and weeping. She showed me the picture. I said, of course I can. I prayed over the picture. As I did, I felt the Holy Spirit prompting me to lay my hands on her head and on her husband's head, because her father was dying of a brain tumor. So in proxy, I put my hand and prayed for them very gently, just for a moment. I did feel the Holy Spirit, but that's all I can say. However, I took the picture and put it on my altar later. A week later, one of my Spanish lay leaders called me and said, Father, you need to sit down. You won't believe what just happened. I said, well, come, tell me. She said, that very Sunday, when I laid my hands over the picture and on over the heads of the daughter of the elderly gentleman and her husband, the elderly mother was walking to the hospital. She entered the room of her husband who was dying. When she entered the room, he sat up and asked her to close the blinds to the hospital room because the light was blinding him.
Oh, my. Oh, my goodness.
Now, he was already completely blind.
Right.
She said, honey, how can that be? You can't see. And he was emphatic. He said, please, honey, close the blinds. She went over and closed the blinds. And when she did, they both testified to this. When she closed the blinds, a light came into the room anyway, like a ball of light, came into the room over his bed. He felt a hand come out of the light and touch the top of his head. He was instantaneously healed of blindness and the brain tumor. It has 100% disappeared. He left the hospital the next morning completely healed.
Oh, my word.
And the whole village is being converted. Now 10,000 people are going back to Mass now and praying their rosary.
Father James Blunt from Atlanta, Georgia, and we're incredibly, exceedingly blessed to have him with us here the week before Christmas. You know, Father, we just have a little under 2 minutes left, maybe a minute and a half left. And I wonder, I'd like to cede it to you. And maybe you could leave our listeners with a few parting thoughts and then bless us at the end. But if you would, maybe there's something that we haven't covered or a message that you'd like to leave with our listeners.
Okay. Well, you know, what I want to say would be this, that we first of all need to rekindle our faith in God. God is absolutely real. And those of us, I love science. Those of us who read the best science, all of science now is pointing towards the actual existence of a creator God. It's becoming overwhelming, the evidence in science, that there is a God. I remember reading a book many years ago called God and the Astronomers by Robert Jastrow. He was a great astrophysicist. And he said, all of the evidence is pointing to the fact that there is a Big Bang at the beginning of creation and there is a God. And he actually said this in the end of that book. He said, I believe that when science finally crosses over the last mountain of discovery and enters into the valley, the scientists will find a group of theologians who've been sitting there all along. And that was by Robert Jastrow, who was not a Christian. Beloved, God is real. He's beautiful, and he's in love with you. And this Christmas, ask for that gift from heaven. Say, God, I want a gift. What do you want, son? I want to believe in you and love you. This Christmas, ask for faith. God is absolutely real, and we want to recover a childlike faith. And if you have that faith, he will come. No matter what you've done, he will come, and he will nurse you and heal you, and he will even make you into a saint. Amen. And so pray for faith this Christmas. It is beautiful.
Amen. Father, could you offer us your blessing?
Yes. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Jesus, you love Indianapolis, and you love every single soul in this city, whoever they are. And we reach out to them now in your Holy Spirit. We banish all thoughts of depression or sadness, and we speak only words of joy and health and thanksgiving, words of faith and hope and love. We claim all who hear this broadcast for the kingdom of God. We claim you for salvation, and we speak to you, rise, Lazarus, arise. You are loved, and you are loved forever. Amen.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the programming tab and select podcasts.